Thank you. There's a principle in Scripture that I've learned that I'll just throw this in free of charge. Got nothing to do with where I'm going today. But the Bible says that if you receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man, you receive a righteous man's reward. And if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. Now, that used to puzzle me until I started traveling. And here's what I understand. The grace that attends you is received in the manner in which it is perceived by those listening. There are places I'm received as an apostle, places I'm received as a prophet, places I'm received as a teacher, places I'm received as a counselor, and there's a distinction in the release of grace based on how people receive you. There you go. All right. Several lessons ago, I undertook to lead us into a journey of understanding. I don't know why that starts when I get up here. It wasn't happening. I lay hands on me in Jesus' name. And in that, we began by looking at something called the excluded middle in Western theology. Basically, it discounts most everything that has to do with the demonic realm. I then traced us through the lineage of the righteous and the lineage of the unrighteous. These are foundation stepping stones for where we're going to be going over the next 6-7 weeks. I want to refresh us in something that needs a little more clarification. The issue of the usefulness of the word likeness. God said, "Let us make man in our image and likeness." And then Adam creates a child in, Genesis 5:1 says that when God created man, he made him in his likeness. And then it goes on to talk about Adam in verse 3, when he was 130 years, he became the father of a son in his own image and likeness. Now this issue of likeness is important to us. I want to spend a moment or two on it. Likeness, as it's used in the passages here, man is not just an image, but he is a likeness image. That means that he's not simply representative, but representational. You understand the difference? If a king were to send his envoy, the envoy would speak on behalf of the king, and he is in that moment the voice of the king, because he is not just the representative of the king, he's the representation of the king in that moment. And to touch him is to touch the king. There's a movie I can't recommend called The 300, based on a history lesson from the Greek Empire. And when the representative of the king comes to Sparta to demand their submission, they approach him to kill him. And he asks them, "Are you mad?" Because he knew who he represented in that moment, and what they were doing was touching the one who sent him if they harmed him. So when Christ comes as the representation of the Father, and then goes on to say that we come into his likeness, guess who we are representing? The Father. So man is the visible, corporeal representative of the invisible, bodiless God. Now, I think it would be fair to say that when sin manifested and death on all men through that act of Adam, we became the broken image of God. The image was not annihilated. It was simply broken. So we broken image bearers were living in darkness. And in darkness, we acquired certain attitudes and patterns, behaviors that come into the kingdom of God with us. Because we end up in a situation where Our spirits are born again when the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us. He's the umbilical cord between us and the mind of the Father. But he is encased in the flesh that has been disciplined and trained in darkness. And so when Paul talks about the conflict that happens, he writes about it like this. He says, "For the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These two are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things you please." That's an interesting phrase. You cannot do the things that you please. You cannot do the things that please you because they grieve the Spirit. And you cannot do the things that the Spirit wants because it grieves your flesh. And in the midst of this, we have a corrupt referee called our mind. So you've got these opponents going on, and the referee has got to be transformed. He's got to begin to think like the Spirit in order to triumph in life. So we have to deal with this corrupt referee. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Thank you so much for being attentive to my need. By the renewing of your mind. Now, I'm going to come back to this verse in a week or two because there's something going on here that's not easily read. "So that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." So, I want to take a stab at this issue of renewing our mind. Because many of us have been taught that the way you renew your mind is to memorize Scripture. And that's a nice thing to do. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." But when we talk about renewing the mind in a week or two, it's going to be a very different and much more insightful process. But right now, let's just start in Ephesians chapter 4. Paul is writing in a long passage that I'll read to you and then dissect, but this is the pivot point. This is the centerpiece of this passage we're going to read, in starting in verse 22. "In reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and you put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth." Now, let's look again at this and look at some phrases. In reference to your former manner of life. Before you came to Christ, did you have a former life? So now you have a different life. And in the former life, there were things that were normative. You thought in darkness, you made decisions in darkness, you were trained in darkness, you lived in darkness, you acted like darkness. Some of you were more dark than others, because there is a morality that can be acquired. The challenge here, in this slide number 2, is that you lay aside the old self and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Now, part of the dilemma right here is the emphasis on you. Okay? Let me read for us what is around it, beginning in verse 17. Now listen to this, because Paul is trying to articulate. Keep in mind that Paul had an encounter with Christ where Christ gave him the schema of things. In Acts chapter 26, verse 18, Jesus says to him, "I'm sending you to open their eyes, bring them from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan to God." That is the scenario into which all are born. And so Paul is speaking out of his personal revelation, words spoken to him by Jesus Christ, so that he now has an eternal perspective on the walk we live in this life. And he writes this passage to emphasize the distinctions between what was, what is, and how we get out of what was into what is more. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you've heard him and have been taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God. Have we seen that word likeness already? Which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we're members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with the one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, let all wrath, let all anger, let all clamor, let all slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as Christ has also forgiven you. Therefore, what do we know about the word therefore? See what it's there for, okay? Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks, which are not fitting for those who are representational of God. He wants you to talk like him and not talk like he does not talk. For you know this with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. And let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light, of the light, consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they're exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. And for this reason it says, awake, sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks in all things to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of the Lord, and blah, 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 blah. That's an onerous passage of Scripture. So I thought I would take it apart so we can look at it without all the wherever your mind went. All right, so what does he say here about the old self? Now, this is just a partial list. I didn't go through all the passages because the list gets much, much longer. But in this slide, we take a look at what that passage says about the old self. It describes the futility of their mind, darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God, ignorance that is in them, hardness of heart, having become callous, given themselves over to sensuality, practice of every kind of impurity, greediness, falsehoods, theft, unwholesome speech, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, malice, immorality, impurity, filthiness, silly talk and coarse jesting, greed and drunkenness. Were you on that list somewhere? Some of you are so happy, I scored big. Now, all of that stuff was acquired, okay? And when your spirit is born again, those patterns and that thinking come with you into the kingdom, because all that has changed at that point is that your spirit has been born again. So when Paul starts to address the new self, he says, you're supposed to walk away from that stuff and walk into this stuff, to reject that and embrace this. He says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new self, created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Speak the truth. Be honest in character. Speak to affirm and build up others. Obey the Holy Spirit. Be kind. Be tenderhearted. Be forgiving. Imitate God. Love others. Practice thankfulness. Practice goodness. Practice righteousness. Practice truth. Share psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with others. Sing and make melody with your heart to the Lord. Be thankful and learn to submit to others. Now, in my early years, I thought self-discipline was the way to accomplish this transition. And what I found out is this: willpower is insufficient power. Behavior modification is the goal of religion. Spiritual transformation is the goal of the Holy Spirit. And when you deny the person and activity of the Holy Spirit, you leave yourself with religious rituals that you know fail because you failed in them before. The net result of a culture like that is it does not produce disciples who are maturing in God. It produces hypocrites who know how to play the game on Sunday and Wednesday night. Anybody ever live there? Willpower is insufficient power. Over the years, I have been forced to create a way of engaging a conversation. So some of you have heard me say something like this: if you could fix your meths with what you already know, it would already be fixed. You need intervention from outside of your knowledge base. Routinely, I was in a conversation just this week where their ignorance was so obvious to me, I had to challenge their ignorance with that statement and then begin to supply them access to information that's pertinent to their present mess. Well, if you've got to put off the old self and put on the new self, I recommend we start paying attention to the other self. The Holy Spirit is the other self. Now, when we begin to explore this, I want to take a look again at this Ephesians 4:22-24 passage. When we looked at it the first time, it said, in reference to your former manner of life. So what are we talking about? You lay aside that former manner of life, and you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and you put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Now, that's what we looked at. But I want to reconfigure it to try to see it from eternity's point of view, so that it's not left up to you. If we turn it around, it begins to look like this. The likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. That means that when you were born again, this was imposed upon your record. I had occasion to be in the courthouse the other day, and I saw a little pamphlet that says, "How do I get my juvenile record expunged?" Let me suggest you were a juvenile in darkness, and the blood of Jesus is how you get your record expunged. And when you step out of that, you come into a new baseline. You are rebooted in the eyes of God to a place of righteousness and holiness in relationship to the truth. Now, how do we get into relationship with the truth? A, first, there is the truth, which is a person, Jesus Christ. I am the truth, the life, the way. But there are also the truths of Jesus that are relevant to us. So if I find myself angry and I keep trying to get rid of anger, I misunderstand the truth. Because the truth says, be angry and sin not. It's okay to be angry, but you must, anger crouches at the door and you must master it. Anger is an emotion. It's not a sin, but it can be the provocation for sin. So my challenge is to align myself with the truth. Quit trying to do anger management as a goal in life and begin to ask the Holy Spirit, how do I direct this emotion? Now, in an earlier season of life when I had a wood stove, I would direct my anger with an axe at a pile of wood. I could actually put names to the pile of wood that I was splitting. And so I directed my anger at someone, at something instead. Over the years, I have been reformed by the Lord, transformed by the Spirit. So it's very, very unusual for me to get mad at anybody but people in general. In the likeness of God, we have been restored to. The broken image is now in a process of being restored to the likeness of God. The likeness was broken. Now it is being reclaimed. Okay? And when the Holy Spirit's through, there won't be many glue marks. Then take a look at this. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. To receive the clarity we need from the Holy Spirit, we have to let our minds come into agreement with what the truth is. God says that there is a righteousness and holiness associated with you that is located in the truth of God. Your mind has to agree with that if you are going to become transformed. How many of you still call yourself an idiot? How many of you still say, well, I am a worm. I read that. David said, I'm a worm. I'll agree with him. I'm just a worm. That's not what God says about you. In case you weren't paying attention, Pete led us in worship this morning and sang this message before I got up here. Then Jesse came and read to us at communion the message I'm preaching now. So you're going to have heard it three times before you leave here today. I don't want to be like the pastor leaning against the pulpit and said, you know, this is my fourth message on the transforming power of the gospel. You still look like the same old bunch. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. At this point, you can put on the new self. Notice the difference. We're starting with the truth, embracing it in our mind to put something on. Because if we focus on what we're putting off, we're looking in the wrong direction. You're always looking at that part which is broken. But to begin to put on means something has got to be replaced, not just fought against. Are you with me? We need to be focused on what it is we are to become, not what we are to reject. Because if I'm going to reach for this, I have to empty my hand of that. But if I spend all my time trying to empty my hand of that, how many know it's got flypaper? Anybody know what flypaper is? You take it to the altar, you lay it there, but it goes with you because it's still got flypaper. The emphasis has to be reversed because Paul was talking ground up, I'm talking top down. And when you do that, the reference to your former self becomes increasingly diminished in your mindset, your emotions, and your lifestyle. So, our first step is to recognize the new standing we have with Him. And you do recognize it. How many of you know that when you do that, what you know to be wrong, you don't feel good about it? Why is that? Because there's a new compass in you. And the farther you walk into whatever that habit, hurt, and hang-up might be, the more your needle bends back the other way, and you're in a crisis of conscience. That's a testimony to you that something has changed inside of you, and that's good news no matter how bad you feel about it. I feel awful about what I'm doing. Praise God, that's good news. The battlefield is in your mind. And notice he uses the spirit of your mind. Now what that means is this. The rational spirit, the power by which the human being feels, thinks, and decides. So he's saying that you need to ingest into your mind an alternative point of view to the one that you hold presently. And that alternative point of view is the way that God thinks, because your thoughts are not His thoughts and His ways are not your ways. To come into alignment with that means there's going to be a change in the thought processes that you presently have. At conversion, you're given a renewed opportunity to manifest the likeness of God through you. But there is in addition to a basic conversion, there must be a daily conversion. How many of you know and are grateful for the fact that not every day is like yesterday? Okay? So the mercies of God are new every morning, indicating that whatever we step into today, the mercy of God is already awaiting us to deliver us in whatever the thought, pattern, habit happens to be. So as we're going through this process of transformation, you don't have to run to church on Sunday morning and run back for the prayer meeting just to stay up to date. There's an activity of the Holy Spirit that operates in us all the time. Paul says it like this: my outward man is perishing, and I have the proof. But my inner man is renewed day by day, because my inner man is the one who is abounding in grace. He is the one who's growing in God, and he's the one that will survive this garment of flesh. So when that man catches up with his glorified body, it's going to be a happy day. I inserted the word you for emphasis, that you put on the new set, the new self. How many of you know that a decision to join a gym or to get out of debt is just the first step? The decision has to be backed up with action. And with regard to the gym or getting out of debt, what you deal with is your willpower. You say no to the dessert. You say no to sleeping in. You say no to spontaneous expenditures. But it requires a decision of the will to start. You have to say, I'm going to change. You don't say, I'm going to stop this. What you do say is, I'm going to start this. Because if I start this, it will edge that out of room in my life. Okay? Don't you wish everything was as neat and clean as it appears in Scripture? Don't do this and do that. Okay, I'm in. There's a principle that works against us. And there are two. The first one is this. When you make a decision to align yourself with God, it releases the grace of the Holy Spirit to assist you. Okay? Now, the other principle is this. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves to that obedience, when you do that, when you present yourself to either of them, you're slaves of the one whom you obey. Either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness. When we were in darkness, we made decisions in darkness. We developed patterns, habits, compulsions. And when we were born again, many of those habits and compulsions and obsessions came with us. Is that a fair statement? Okay. And it took a long time of habitual repetition for this being, its programming, its thought processes, its enzymes, to fully engage this activity of darkness. And when I came into Christ, those things did not change. My spirit was born again, but my habit patterns were still in place. That to which I gave myself, that to which I became a slave, came with me. And the process of reclaiming that ground is not instantaneous in many situations. So to say that I'm going to make the decision to start doing something different does not mean I will not be walking forward in shackles for a while. And I will fall because I'm shackled. But if I walk with somebody, if two walk together and one falls down, the other can pick them up. But here's the deal. The devil has no interest in you being accountable to anybody else. Because if he can get you to keep things hidden, he can keep you in bondage. It was for freedom that Christ set you free. The intention of our Father is that we be free in our entire being. And that's not free to come under religious laws. It's to be free. Adam had one rule. We now have one rule. It's called the royal law, the law of love. The rest of this stuff is sociology. But God desires that we'd be free in mind, soul, and spirit. The intentional programming to which we gave ourselves necessitates an intentional reprogramming on this side of our salvation experience. Okay. I grew up in the South, Mobile, Alabama. You can go a little bit farther and you're in the Gulf of Mexico. So that's pretty south. And in the South, there were cultural patterns, attitudes, and thought processes I absorbed from my childhood up. And it was normal. Even in church, the prejudices and behaviors were Christianized. Okay, I remember one Sunday, Patty and I were headed into church in another location, but it was still that same religious culture. And there was this cloud of smoke coming up between the sanctuary and the parsonage. First, I was concerned until I saw it was all the deacons smoking cigarettes. And that was perfectly acceptable. Because there's a mindset when all you have is rules and willpower that lowers the bar of how you represent the Lord. Okay? When you come into the kingdom of God, He has an intention that we begin to think and respond the way He would. And that means whosoever will may come, whosoever will may stay, because the Lord is the one who intends His body to be representative of His love affair with every tribe, nation, and tongue. I was at the retirement ceremony of a friend of mine this past Friday night. In fact, some of you will recall Ben Benici. He was pastoring the Patuxent River Southern Assembly of God when I arrived here in 77. He retired last Friday night. And he was just rejoicing because he began praying 30 years ago in that congregation that God would make it multi-ethnic and multicultural. And it is in a place where racial prejudice is alive and well and very distinguishable. Okay? He was rejoicing in the Lord, and I rejoiced with him because I understand what it takes for us to be those who are willing to receive one another regardless of our culture, whether you're Yankee or Southerner or California freak or New York, whatever you call those guys. I was chatting with someone at the party the other night who is from California. I said, you know, from the East Coast, you guys look like you have lost your minds. He concurred that those who rule did because they don't rule for the benefit of those subject to their rule. The pathway out of these acquired patterns, habits, and obsessions is not an easy journey. And I'm going to start showing us how to begin this journey in the weeks ahead. Because we're on our way to developing another ministry in this house that is going to set people free. And it's going to require patience, understanding, sensitivity, grace, intentionality, and mercy from all of us to one another. Because I'm going to bring out of darkness into the light that which is keeping you from your destiny. So help me, God. I realize that these contrasts and the weight of it can seem wearisome. But I want to make these few comments. If you're frustrated with your inability to master your weaknesses, then say so. Say so. Own up to it yourself. Tell it to the Lord. And tell it to some trustworthy human being in your relational sphere. Quit pretending there's nothing wrong, because you and I and God know better. If you're still struggling with habitual failure, I want you to know that as surely as I know anything, the Lord is releasing grace for us to stand up and move forward. We're entering a season that He has set up, and I fully anticipate hearing magnificent reports of God's redemption in the lives of our people and those who will yet associate with us. We're going to be able to find renewed freedom in Him. If you're estranged from the Lord, come home. You're not supposed to be walking on your own. You have been baptized into the body to be part of the body, and it's in the connection to the body that you find the grace that releases you. If you've not been reconciled to the Father through Jesus Christ, repent and come to Jesus. What have you got to lose? I know this right now. Your plan is not working. So what have you got to lose? If you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, then you need to ask the Lord to baptize you with his power. Tarry you here in Jerusalem until you receive power, and then be my witness. This sterile, powerless church stuff needs to end, starting with you. Let's be that together. I sat with a man probably 2, maybe 3 Sundays ago, a Jewish fellow who came to Christ a year ago next month after sitting in a congregation and a growth group for 4 years, asking questions. And finally he concluded, well, what have I got to lose? If Jesus is the Messiah, then I'll accept him. And if he's not, I'll know it. And guess what? He is. And he knows it. The Lord is very patient with all of us. Remember, his compassionate and gracious and slow to anger, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping loving kindness for thousands, and forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. That's our Father. We sang about it. We celebrated it in communion. We heard it now. Align yourself with the truth. Say what he says about you to you. It's one of your first weapons of defense against you, because you'll lie to you. So tell his truth to you and watch how it will transform your thinking and your day. If you're here this morning, you've been estranged from the Lord, this is a great opportunity to say, Father, can we start over? If you're here this morning, you've never been reconciled to Christ. What are you waiting on? Eternity can start to be experienced now, for the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And if you're lacking righteousness, peace, and joy, guess who's got it for you? And if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you know it, settle it today. Would you stand? Father, I am so incredibly grateful for your loving kindness and patience. You have been, you have put up with me, believing you could make a better me. And I have come to believe you. Now I pray for us, Lord, knowing you will make a better us. And I pray that the us in the we will believe thee. And let us begin to walk together into a whole new sense of freedom and liberty and celebration with thanksgiving over how you are transforming your people into your image and likeness. I pray this morning, Lord, for those who are in need. We want to lay hands on the sick because we know that you'll heal them. We want to pray for the lost because we know you'll save them. We want to lay hands on and baptize in the Holy Spirit because that's your command to us, while you get to do that act on your own. And so for these and those they represent and those who shall yet come in, Lord, I pray for patience and grace and the spirit of wisdom and revelation to be awakened in us so that you're glorified through us, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like some of our ministry teams up here for whomever want to receive prayer this morning. Our first-time guests, we'd like to meet you in the hospitality room out to the left. There's snacks in the lobby. Enjoy one another on your way out. If you need prayer, we're at the altar waiting for you.